Okay, let's turn in our Bible now to Revelation 14. Revelation 14, look at the first five verses. And I'm taking the title for the message from the words found in verse 1. Revelation 14, verse 1, where John says that he beholds this vision of the glorified Lord Jesus Christ in his sacrificial character. 26 times in this book is the revelation of Jesus Christ. He's described as the Lamb of God. This is God's sacrificial Lamb that John the Baptist identified and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, it takes away our sin." This is the same Lamb that God provided in Abraham and Isaac's day. God will provide himself a Lamb for a sacrifice. And notice as John beholds the Lamb is standing on Mount Zion. And with him, 144,000, the elect of God, having his Father's name written in their head, written on their forehead, or in their forehead, it says. So the title of the message is, "The Lamb Stands Victorious." The Lamb stands on Mount Zion. Now, when all the dust is settled, and all the enemies of the Lord's church are finally and fully and eternally defeated, the Lord Jesus Christ is the last man standing. He stands as the God-man mediator. The Lord Jesus Christ stands in complete and total victory, and every believer stands with him, in him, by him, now and forever. That's why the Apostle Paul said, "Thanks be unto God who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." He goes forth conquering and to conquer all of his enemies. All of his enemies. Our Lord is the one who overcomes. We don't overcome. He overcomes for us. Our Lord said, "These words have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In this world you're going to have trouble. You're going to have tribulation. You're going to have sorrow. You're going to have heartache. Ah, but be of good cheer. I've overcome. I've conquered," that's the word. "I've conquered all things." And he does this for us. John turned from the vision that he had of the terrible woes of these two monsters in chapter 13, the beast out of the sea and the beast out of the earth, to this heavenly vision above of the Lord Jesus Christ enthroned with all the elect of God with him. We see again that the Lamb upon the throne is ruling and reigning forever, forever victorious. Hold your place there in your bookmark and turn a couple pages to chapter 17. Revelation 17, verse 14, "These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords, King of kings, and they that are with him," the 144,000, "they that are with him are called, chosen, and faithful." That's a description of every believer. Called, chosen, and they're faithful. He makes us faithful by his grace. Although Satan and his ministers try to deceive the elect and destroy them, not one of God's elect can perish. All will be with the Lord forever. That's why I read over there. You're wondering why I read John chapter 6? That's the reason I read John chapter 6. He said, "I'll lose nothing but raise it up again at the last day." Remember? "All that the Father giveth me will come to me, and those that come to me I'll never cast them out. No one will perish for whom the Lord Jesus Christ stood in that eternal covenant as a surety and guarantee of our salvation. We stood in him, chosen in him, and when everything is done, settled, and over, we stand in him eternally, complete in Christ. Satan, all of his devices and all of his forces will be finally and fully and eternally destroyed. Now that's the message of the revelation, and really the message of the whole book of the Bible. Christ wins. He wins. He's victorious. He's the captain of our salvation. Never loses. Always a winner. And we're winners in him. Now, the first thing we see here in verse 1, John, behold this Lamb of God. I looked and behold a Lamb. It reminds me what's said in Isaiah 42, verse 1. Behold, God said, my elect, my servant, in whom I uphold. Behold the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the same Lamb that John the Baptist identified. And John, here the apostle, heard John the Baptist say when the Lord Jesus Christ started his earthly ministry, he said, John said, there he is. That Lamb that was prophesied, typified, there he is. Here's the Lamb of God that takes away our sin. John heard John the Baptist, the last prophet, Old Testament prophet, and the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. He heard him identify the Lord Jesus as the Lamb. Now he beholds this same Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. He is the only sacrifice for sin. He's the only sacrifice for sin. God has designated the Lord Jesus Christ as the sacrifice for our sin. You can't come to God and you can't approach God apart from a designated, appointed sacrifice. Christ is that sacrifice. We're not looking for another. We have one. And who provided it? I didn't provide it. Christ himself provides himself as a sacrifice for himself that puts away our sin. Christ is the Lion of the tribe of Judah to his enemies, the enemies of the gospel, but he's a redeeming Lamb to save his people from their sin. And that's what the angel from heaven said, remember? Call his name Jesus, he shall save his people from their sin. 26 times in this book of Revelation, we see the Lord Jesus Christ in his sacrificial character as the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. There's no approaching God apart from the Lamb. There's no salvation apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. There's just one way of salvation. He said, I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. No man comes to the Father but by and through me. That's why Paul said, I'm determined to know nothing among you but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He is the way. This Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it's just not that some Jewish teacher from Nazareth died. This one who died is God manifest in the flesh. That's what gives the weight and power and vitality and eternal life to his shedding of his blood. His atonement is who he is. It's who he is that determines the extent of the atonement being absolutely successful. John sees the Lord Jesus Christ standing upon Mount Zion. This Mount Zion here is the heavenly city that Abraham was seeking, whose builder and maker is God. Notice the Lord Jesus Christ here, and often we see him in Scripture, when he by himself purged our sin, he sat down on the right hand of God. We've seen that many times, haven't we? Here he's standing. He's standing, not sitting, standing in complete victory over all his enemies. I remember Psalm 110, sit thou, the Lord, my God, said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. And here he stands in victory. He stands in victory. He stands in victory having conquered all of his enemies, having spoiled principalities and powers. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them himself, with himself, by himself, for his own glory. Standing to receive all the honor and glory. Standing to receive all recognition due him. Standing to be recognized as the captain of our salvation. Now let me show you an interesting scripture. Turn over here to the book of Acts. Right past John is the book of Acts, chapter 8. You remember there was a deacon in the early church. His name was Stephen. And he preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And them Jews got very, very angry at him. In Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, verse 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. When they heard Stephen preach the gospel, and they gnashed upon him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. He's standing to receive this dear brother. And he said, "Behold, I see heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." And they cried with a loud voice and stopped their ears, and they ran upon him with one accord, and they cast him out of the city, stoned him, and the witnesses laid their down their clothes at a young man's feet named Saul. It's Saul of Tarsus. This is the Apostle Paul. He stood there and held the coat of those who dashed out the brains of Stephen. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he said this, he fell asleep. But Stephen, as he gets this vision, as he's being killed, he sees the same thing John sees, the Lamb standing upon Mount Zion to receive him to himself. Blessed are those who die in the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice this amazing statement next in verse 1. With him all those given to him in that eternal covenant of grace. Remember in Hebrews chapter 2 when it gives a description of all those for whom Christ tasted death for. And he said, the Lord said, "Behold, I and the children that you've given to me, all those chosen by eternal love and sovereign grace, all those redeemed by his blood, the called, the chosen, the faithful, all the 144,000 stand with the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, when you think about that number, as I told you back when we looked at this first in chapter 7, 144,000 were sealed in their forehead. That's a symbolic number signifying that all the elect of God will be redeemed with his blood, and he will lose not one of them. Raise everyone up at the last day. They're chosen by his eternal love, redeemed by his precious blood. Redeemed with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice, thirdly, all these saints of God, the elect of God, sinners saved by the grace of God, they all have their Father's name written in their forehead, in their forefront of their thoughts, their heart, their will, their mind, their affection. The children of the beast have the mark of the beast. Remember, we talked about that last week. They received the mark in their hand and his name in their forehead. Here, the saints of God are sealed by the determinate counsel and will of God. The saints of God have their Father's name put upon them. We are his children. We are members of his household. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. God's people, his elect, are sealed with an everlasting salvation. He knows his sheep, and they follow him. They follow them, him, and he gives them a new name. Remember, we saw that. Turn back to Revelation chapter 2, verse 17. He gives them a new name, the Father's name. In chapter 2, verse 17 of Revelation, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in that stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that received it." Again, turn to chapter 3, verse 12. Revelation 3, verse 12. "Him that overcometh..." Now remember how we overcome, only by the blood of the Lamb. "Will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I'll write upon him the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven, salvations of the Lord, from my God, and I will write upon him a new name." We have the Father's name written in our heart, in our mind, in our thoughts. Sealed of God. Had it not been for his electing love, his electing grace, saving grace, redeeming grace, we would have been deceived and devoured by Satan and his beastly monsters, his beastly ministers. You remember in chapter 13, verse 8, all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, that is the beast, the false prophet, false Christianity, whose names are not written in the book of life. If our name had not been written in the book of life, we would go after that beastly, man-centered, free will, works religion. But our name been written in the book of life, in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Before Adam ever sinned, before Adam was even created. The Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, stood as a surety, sacrifice, and Savior of us, His people. Had it not been for His electing love and saving grace, we'd have no hope. We've been adopted into His family by His love, haven't we? The whole what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons of God. By His love, we're part of His household. We're no more strangers and foreigners going about. We have been made by His grace. Therefore, He says, you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All the ground is sinking sand. Now, Revelation 14, look at verse 2. And I heard a voice from heaven. I heard a voice from heaven, as a voice of many waters, as a voice of great power, great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers. They were harping just one song. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive all honor, glory, and blessings. Voices of harpers harping, singing unto the Lord. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne of God's majesty, glory, and power. And before the four beasts, the ministers of the gospel, and the 24 elders, the living, four living creatures, and the 24 elders, again, a number symbolic of God's church. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000, which were redeemed from the earth. They were redeemed, bought, chosen and bought. We see the total occupation of the redeemed in glory. Those who are standing with the Lamb, worshiping the Lamb, singing about the Lamb, His redeeming blood. They were redeemed from the earth, redeemed from among men. Now, He didn't redeem all men. We are redeemed from among men. At the new song, learned here on this earth by the experience of His grace unto Him who loved us and washed us from our sin in His own blood, to Him be all the honor and glory, both now and forever. It's a new song inspired by gratitude and love to the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn back to Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 says, and after this I beheld a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, kindred, people, tongues, stood before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms of victory in their hand. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, to our God, salvation to our God, which sits upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and they fell before the throne on their faces, and they worshiped God, saying, amen. Glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, honor, power, and might be unto our God forever and ever. That's this song of redemption. It's a new song learned by His grace, the experience of grace. It's a new song inspired by gratitude and love. It's a new song that all the redeemed sing. Turn back to Revelation 5. Let's see what it's about. Revelation 5 verse 9. Revelation 5 verse 9. Verse 8 said, when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps. There's those harps again. And golden vials of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. And has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and saying, thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. This is the song that he teaches us. No man can come to me except my Father which sent me draw him. And all those who have heard and learned of the Father, they come to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a song, the new song. It's an everlasting, eternal song of redemption described as worship. Worship. The voice of many waters, sung by many redeemed from all places of the earth, who have drunk of the living water of life. Who is that? Who is that? You remember that Lord said to that woman at the well, you drink of that water and you're going to thirst again. You drink of that water that I give you will be a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And I like what she said. Lord, give me that water. That's what I say, don't you? Give me that water. The voice of many waters sung by all the redeemed. A voice of great thunder. Great thunder, the song of the redemption, the song of the Redeemer has a powerful message. It comes with great authority. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. And then the voices of harpers with harps, a lovely, sweet, tender music of worship, making melody in our hearts before the Lord. Again, these are symbolic numbers that represent things, or symbolic things. These are all gathered before the throne. You see that? Before the throne. They sung, as it were, a new song before the throne. This is the throne of God. They're gathered before the throne. They have a great privilege to serve the Lord in perfect worship before God Almighty. The four beasts, the four living creatures, and all the ministers of the gospel, and all the elect of God, they sing this song in adoration and worship of the Lord. They know they are there only because Christ loved them, chose them, and redeemed them by His grace. Now notice the description the Lord gives of His people, talking about His church, those that He bought with His blood. And this is describing you. You who believe the gospel. These are they, verse 4 and 5, these are they which are not defiled with women. Now, this is not talking about natural things. This is talking about spiritual things. There's two unnamed women that's revealed in the book of Revelation. Remember, one of them is the church. The woman represents the church. What was that? Over here in chapter 12, there appeared a great wonder in heaven. That's that first unnamed woman. The second unnamed woman we're going to see in chapter 17 is the great harlot, the whore, Babylon. False religion that does not glorify God. These are they which are not defiled with idolatry. Now, He found us there, but He called us out of idolatry. And we are not defiled with idolatry, with free will, works, religion. We are redeemed by the blood of Christ. Idolatry is spiritual fornication before God, with will worship and superstition. The elect of God have been kept, preserved from it. They are in God's sight as chaste virgins. Now notice the reference there in chapter 14. On verse 4, you see the reference where it says they are virgin. You have the letter A. You see that? And what is the reference there? 2 Corinthians 11:2. So let's turn there. 2 Corinthians 11:2. These reference Bibles are handy. They point us in the right direction. Who are these virgins? Well, let's see if we agreed about it. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2, Paul said, I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I've espoused you to one husband. Now remember in Isaiah 54 who that husband is? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our husband. I've espoused you to one husband that I might present you as a chaste virgin in Christ. We are as a chaste virgin in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity. That word simplicity is oneness, singleness of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he considers us in Christ as pure, holy virgins, not defiled with idolatry, not defiled. Christ presents us in the purity of the gospel. We stand in him, both all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and in Christ we stand complete. The second thing he says of them, they're not defiled with idolatry, will worship, and superstition. They are chaste virgins in Christ. These are they which, secondly, what do? They follow. They don't follow men. They don't follow tradition. They don't follow mom and dad. Not in salvation. The sheep of Christ follow the Lord Jesus Christ. What's he called? He's called the great shepherd. All we like sheep have gone astray. Remember? We've turned everyone to our own way. And the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. He said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they do follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish. No man can pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave me is greater than all. And no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. We're in Christ, in God, secure and complete. So, we follow the Lamb. Wherever he goes, that's where we go. You see, we're one with him. We're united with him. And in him, wherever he goes, we go. What's true of the head is true of the body. Where the head is, that's where the body is. Now, wherever this head goes here, naturally, wherever this head goes, you know what follows? The body. Christ is our head. We are his body. What's true of him, true of us. Where he goes, we go. Where he is, we are right now. You know where we are right now? We just read it right here. We stand with him. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, Ephesians 2, hath quickened us together with Christ and raised us up together to make us sit together in the heavenlies in the Lord Jesus Christ right now. Seated in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. Wheresoever the Lamb goes, that's where we go. He's a forerunner. Remember, he's called the forerunner in Hebrews 6, who has entered in to the holy place, sat down, and we sat down in him. He's a forerunner. He's a forerunner for us. We follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes. I like what Peter said when many of those so-called disciples turned and walked away from the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord said to the apostles, well, if you want to leave, right now is the time to leave. If you want to leave, just get with that crowd and leave. Remember what Peter said? Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. We believe and we're sure thou art the Christ. You see, he was a lamb following the good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. And then it says here, they are redeemed. They are redeemed. They're bought. They're bought from among men. He chose us out from among men. He set his love on us and he redeemed us. He bought us with his own blood. Sinners redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood. We have the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. He obtained for us eternal redemption. He bought us. He bought us. Now I use this homely illustration. When you ladies make out your grocery list, and my wife does it meticulously, and she checks off everything she buys. Everything she buys. When she gets to the checkout stand, And we go where everybody else goes, usually to Walmart. And they ring it up and they have a price. And she pulls out that debit card and they ring it up, paid in full. Now, what's going to happen to those groceries? She chose them. She bought them. They bagged them. They're in her buggy. You think she's going to go home without those groceries? She's not going to go home without those groceries. Now, she may leave her purse there. But those groceries are hers. She bought them. She's going to take them home, and we're going to eat them. Now, see the illustration? The Lord Jesus Christ made his list. He chose his people in that eternal covenant of grace. He bought us. Everyone for whom he died and bought, he's going to take home. He's going to take them home. He bought us. He's going to enjoy us forever. And we're going to enjoy him forever and ever and ever. We belong to the Lord. We are redeemed with his precious blood. We're redeemed from among men. Now that tells us right there something of the magnitude and the scope of the atonement. He didn't redeem all men everywhere without exception. That's not so. He redeemed his church, his chosen, his elect, his bride. He said, I lay down my life for the sheep. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. These are redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God. The first fruits unto God. Now that goes back to that harvest under the law. When Israel of old began the harvest feast, the first fruits of that crop went to the house of the Lord to provide for the priest, the tribe of Levi. We are his first fruits. We belong to the Lord. Listen to Scripture. James 1:18. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creation. He created us. He chose us. We are his first fruits. And he's going to take us home because he purchased us with his blood. These were bought from among men, being his fruit. His fruit. It belonged. We belong to the Lord. He bought us with his own blood. Now, the last thing, and I'll send you home. The last thing is this. And in their mouth was no guile. No guile. And that word there is hypocrisy. No deceit. No hypocrisy in their mouth, because their heart has been made new in Christ Jesus. For they are without, now I want you to wrap yourself around this. They are without fault. That means they have no sin. That means they have no guilt. They are without fault, not before the church, not before the neighborhood, not before the government. They are without fault before the throne of God. That's all that matters. That's all that matters. Now, they may arrest me and put me in jail and accuse me of all kind of malicious things. And they might pronounce a sentence, a judgment, guilt before the laws of the state of Kentucky. But before God, I have no fault because I have no sin. When Paul was in Rome in prison for preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, Rome said, guilty, guilty, he must die, he must die. Before the throne of God, without blame, without fault, holy, spotless, unblemished in God's sight. You can find this easily in the book of Jude. Turn to Revelation chapter 1 and then look right up the page. Without fault, holy, unblameable, unreprovable in God's sight. God said their sin and their iniquity will I remember no more. You see it in the book of Jude, just one chapter. See verse 24, right up there, the page above Revelation chapter 1. Verse 24 said, now to him that is able to keep you from falling, he's able. Able to save to the uttermost, able to keep us. He's able to keep you from falling, and he's able to present you. present you faultless before the presence of his glory, and he presents us with exceeding joy. He's not ashamed to call us brethren. Think of it. To present you faultless before his presence, the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion and power both now and forever. What do you say to that? Hey, I say amen. Without fault. There's no guile in their mouth. They've been given faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're no longer going about to establish a righteousness of their own, but have submitted themselves to the righteousness of God in Christ. And they're without fault before the throne because they stand in the Lord Jesus Christ. You get that? That's where we started. The Lamb stood on Mount Zion with him, the 144,000, having his Father's name written in their forehead.